I will ask you to stand in reverence for God's holy word. If you can't stand, just put your hand over your heart. In the gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone want to become my follower, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This is one of those things that we call the hard sayings of Jesus. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. When they came into Jerusalem, they were there, in the disciples' mind, to get followers. And Jesus is talking about suffering. Now, law 101 of trying to get people to follow you and join your ranks is you tell them all the good stuff. You know, if you want people to be a part of your group, the first thing you're going to do is you want to tell them all the great things that they benefit from being a part of your group, right? And we hear it a lot. You know, you hear, if you only hear certain things, if you only hear certain sermons, if you go to church once and hear, you know, about all the great stuff, then you've really missed out, because it's not all fun. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is a wonderful, life-changing, great experience, but there is a cost of discipleship. And to pretend that all you have to do is, you know, come to church and, you know, warm the pew and, you know, be a nice person, if that's all you ever know, folks, that is cheap grace. Dietrich Bonhoeffer named it that. I don't know if you know who he is. He was a great man who was in Germany during the time of the Jewish persecutions. He smuggled Jews out. He saved as many people as he could. And 3 days before the Allies came in, he was hanged. He dedicated his life to saving other people. And he was willing to pay the cost for that. And he said, if you don't pay the cost of discipleship, then the grace is cheap. Grace is free, folks, but it ain't cheap. Jesus gave everything. He gave his life as he lived on this earth, and he gave his earthly life for us to give us the model of, if you are to be my follower, you have to do two things: deny self and take up your cross, not his cross. You know, I mean, Larry's not going to take my cross. He's going to take his cross. Joe's going to take her cross. Not mine, not Jesus's. He handled his. We have to deny self and take up our cross. Well, now, what does that mean? Because we're not going to be, you know, impaled on a cross. So what does all that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's start with the self-denial. It is extremely hard to deny yourself something you want. I'm going to tell you something about me that probably you know, but some of you may not. I want what I want when I want it. I realize that none of you are like that. But I want what I want when I want it. And if I decide that I want something, I cannot talk myself out of it. At least not easily. Because, I can justify why I deserve it, why I need it. How, if I own this, someday somebody's going to come to my house and I'm going to have this for them. Now, it doesn't matter that nobody's been to my house for dinner in over a year, but, if they come, it'll be here. It is hard to tell yourself no. Particularly if at that moment you've got the means to do what you want to do. But sometimes we need to relinquish what we want for a higher calling. We need to give up what we want in favor of what God wants. Sometimes we settle for so little when God wants us to have so much. But it's that instant gratification thing. Want what we want when we want it. And sometimes God asks you to give things up. Sometimes he'll take you to scary places. Anybody ever been in a scary place? I've been in some scary places where God said, let's do this. And I go, no, we don't want to do that. God said, let's do this now. And I say, check your watch. God, now's not the time for that. But we have to be willing to give it up. It's amazing, actually, how little he asks of us. You want to know the truth? It is amazing how little he asks. But even that little, we don't want to give. If you're going to deny self, you have to be willing to give up whatever you claim as yours if he asks for it. And the thing is, it's the willingness. Remember when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac? It wasn't a test, that God needed to know what Abraham was going to do. God knew what Abraham was going to do. It was for Abraham to learn. He asked for his most prized possession. He said, let me have your son. And Abraham said, okay. But he told the servants, yes, we're going up here and we're going to offer this sacrifice. But he told his servants, we are coming back. He didn't know how. But he trusted God enough to say, God gave me this son. He gave me this son with a promise for this son's future. And I don't know what's going to happen, but if God asks for his life, I know we're still coming back. Now that's faith. But God didn't take his son, did he? We just have to be willing to give. He's not going to ask you for your child, because he already gave his own. But he might ask you to give up some comfort. He might ask you to go someplace new, like he did with Ashley's parents. They went up there on faith. They went to Kentucky on faith. They've only been there a brief while, but God has blessed and blessed and blessed. He may ask you to deny yourself and give. And if that wasn't enough to deal with, he says we need to change our value system. What we value really isn't all that valuable, is it? What does the world consider valuable? Give me a few, you know, just a few. Diamonds are valuable. Cars.
Power.
Gold and silver. Designer labels. Sometimes it doesn't even have to be expensive things. Sometimes, you know, we value trinkets like they were treasure. All of that stuff is really, for lack of a better word, it's garbage. Because, folks, it doesn't last. All those things that we value and put so high on the pedestal, none of it lasts. Even if you don't run out of money, you're going to die and leave it to somebody that's going to squabble over it. Even if you've got the best clothes in the world, they're going to someday rot unless they're polyester, but and they will probably last till the end of time. Everything we have goes away. Our youth goes away. Beauty goes away, the way the world looks at beauty. All of this stuff, nothing gold can stay, as the poet put it. So why do we try to hang on to it like it was so valuable? The only thing that lasts is our investment in people. If you invest in people, see, God considers human beings the most valuable thing he ever created. And if we invest in each other, that's eternal. The love we give each other is eternal. The help we give each other is eternal. Because, see, I'm going to help Joe and Artis. And Joe and Artis are going to help Terry and Amy. And Terry and Amy are going to help Ken and Sheila. And all of us are going to help all the people that we meet. And you never know what you've done until you get off this planet and into heaven. There are things that, and I've actually had somebody thank me for things that I didn't remember what they were talking about. It really didn't mean all that much to me. I was just, you know, trying to be helpful. And to them, though, it really meant something. We're not going to know the influence that we have had here. And it doesn't matter that your name doesn't end up in a history book. Someday all that's going to be forgotten too. But the investment that we make in each other, in his name, can change the whole world. 12 guys proved that. He started with 12. And it spread across the planet. And the second cost is daily bearing our cross. Now, cross bearing is really, it's voluntarily suffering what you've got the power to avoid. Now, that does not mean that God says, oh, by all means, you know, cause yourself pain. That is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about smacking yourself or, you know, starving yourself or some of the things that the aesthetics do where they punish, you know, their own body. That's not what he's talking about. But have you ever been in a situation that was causing you pain and you stayed for the good of somebody else? That's taking up your cross daily. I got all these husbands and wives just nudging each other. It's all in His name, because it's a healing thing. Let me ask you this. Who's had surgery? Let me see hands. If you've had surgery, see, almost everybody in this room has had surgery of some sort. Okay. Was that fun? And you know, the surgery itself wasn't all that bad. It's the next day, and the next day, and the next day, when, you know, you're so sore, and, you know, maybe they took something out. You know, I don't know about you, but God gave me these parts. I'd like to keep as many of them as possible. And you've lost a part, or you've had to have something repaired, and it never is just instantaneous. It all comes with therapy. You know, the like I say, the surgery itself, the removing of the part that doesn't work, or the part that's making you sick, that's not really the hard part. The hard part is the pain of the therapy. When I had a cyst removed from my wrist, I will tell you honestly, I would have never had it done if I'd known what I was going to have to go through when it was over. It didn't seem like it was that big a deal. It was a ganglion cyst, boom, gone. But unfortunately, it went from this knuckle all the way up to half up to my elbow. And it took way longer than they thought, because it was way bigger than they thought. And it took me 3 years to be able to move my wrist full range of motion. 3 years. Now, I wouldn't have even had it done if I had known it was going to take all that. And it hurt. All therapy hurts. But it's part of the healing process. Without going through the pain, you never heal. See, a lot of people don't want to deal with the pain. You don't want to deal with the pain of your past, so you just, you know, just set it aside and don't think about that. But if you don't excise it, if you don't get rid of it, it's always going to be there, and it's going to show up. If you don't do the exercise that you need to do for your body after you've had an injury, you're not going to be able to do it. Rick's dad did not want to do the therapy after he had his knee surgery, and he got to the point that he could only lift his foot 1.5 inches off the floor. He couldn't even walk up a small step because he did not want the pain. Folks, healing has pain to it. And that's what taking up your cross is. Cross-bearing is always healing. What Christ bore on the cross healed our sins. Our cross-bearing is a healing process. And if I told you it was fun, I would be lying. You know? You know, I've always said I don't like pain. It hurts me. You know, I just don't like pain. And you don't either. And you want to avoid it. But we have to embrace it sometimes. For our good and for the good of others. But now for the good news. You know, Jesus didn't just say, you know, you've got to deny yourself and pick up your cross. He told you what the end result of that is. And the end result of that is abundant life. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You know, it's amazing to me. All the stuff that we try to avoid really keeps us from being happy. It keeps us from being content. It keeps us from the abundant life. Let me ask, no show of hands, but let me just ask you, do you feel alive today? Do you feel every fiber of your being with energy? Do you feel the joy, the light, the contentment? Contentment definition, a feeling of well-being no matter what the circumstances. That's what he came to give us. Not just life in the time to come, but life here, life now, abundant, fully alive kind of life. And there's been times I've not felt that. There's times that I've just felt so worn out, tired. But if I deny self and take up my cross daily, I have that energy that only comes from abundant life in Christ. And I will tell you, I don't care how happy you are out in the world, there's nothing to compare to it. I've had the world. I've had good stuff in the world. I know about the world. And let me tell you, nothing compares to the abundant life of Christ. But it's not cheap. So you've got to ask yourself the question, what do you really want? Are you serious about this following Christ thing, or are you not? Because there's a cost. But oh my goodness, friends, what we pay compared to what he paid is nothing. And I would rather have something eternal than a trinket that won't last. What about you? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.